What's up, everybody? The Bozilla Show is about to commence. I'm waiting for my host to come in tonight with me. We're going to be talking about the pipeline. A lot of things that this person is going to be talking about, hopefully, they come in. And I am really, really interested to hear what they got to say because these are things that us as a culture, I would say, of kids and people that have been there, who have been through the pipeline and are going to join forces with me to stop this pipeline or to actually put a dam in this pipeline so we can get these kids right on the back on the best part of life that they need help. This time we're us as parents. And right now I'm saying parents because I'm a parent. Me, us as parents need to listen up, to listen to what our kids talk about. Our kids don't always talk crazy stuff that you think that they will because that's just not what they are. Kids have their mind. Kids know when stuff is not right. We really have to understand that we were kids once too. Our parents really didn't understand what we were talking about because, you know, I came up in a hip-hop thing. I'm talking about real hip-hop, not the hip-hop today. I'm talking about the LL Cool J, remember all them, Run DMC, you know, stuff like that. That's the year of hip-hop I came out in. But nowadays, it's hip-hop now. Rap music, these kids listen to now. I hear when my daughter used to play it, me and my wife used to say, what are you listening to? You feel okay to listen to that type of music with us in the car. But, you know, these kids nowadays don't think there's nothing wrong with it. We sit there and listen to some of their lyrics. They're having sex. They're smoking drugs, taking mollies, drinking syrup and all that type of stuff. You know, it's just lean and stuff like that. You know, these kids nowadays have a lot of stuff that's going on. And they do carry a lot of baggage as far as they're being judged by their peers. They're being judged by their teachers. You know, they say that you're not going to amount to anything whatsoever. And, you know, and you stereotype a child as soon as you see them just because they wear different clothes or they act a little bit different. You can't judge them by that. What I'm saying is these kids nowadays really take things seriously. That's why you have so many school shootings, bullies. You know, back then, like I keep on saying back then, I'm talking about when I was in school, we had bullies, but you know what? We didn't bring up a gun to school and shoot them up. We fought. You know, that wasn't any better, but we fought with our hands. Nowadays, you never know when a kid's going to bring a gun or they got a gun at their parents' house or they got a gun off the street. There's so many things that these kids have places to get into as far as weapons and drugs and stuff like that. These kids nowadays have a whole totally different place that they go. The pipeline nowadays is something to be held because I just don't understand. It scares me what these kids have to go up to. I'm glad my daughter is out of high school and stuff like that. I really am. I'm tired of seeing these kids getting killed. It's just crazy because think about it. Children nowadays have really nothing strong to look at. They don't have that positive role model besides their parents. You know, that their father should be the man, the daughter should be the daughter, the daughter should be the woman. Why don't I want my son to be his idol is LeBron James. Not saying there's nothing wrong with LeBron James, because he does a whole bunch of stuff in the schools here in Ohio. But what happened to when the son looks up to the dad? Oh, I know what it is. The dad probably's not there. Or the dad's inside them walls. You know, that's one thing I am going to talk about tonight until tomorrow. Our host, she's waiting for the gentleman to come. I want you to understand that everybody that's inside those walls are not bad people. I'm talking about as far as fathers and mothers. They're not bad people. They're not bad parents. We have made mistakes, and I say that with me because I made a mistake. I was inside them walls. I didn't do as long as some of these people have, but I was in there so long that my daughter is still affected by it now. It's because I'm not with her mother right now. We're separated in two totally different states. So I have my own communication with my daughter. Yes, I'm. Hey, how you doing?
Hello, how you doing?
Hey, sir. I'm all right, man. Okay, everybody, here's our guest, our host tonight with me. I've already started a little bit of the man, but you go right ahead and give us your name and your story.
This call is originating from an Ohio correctional facility and may be recorded and monitored.
Yes, I couldn't hear what you said because the operator came in.
Yeah. I know about that. I remember hearing that myself. Oh, I said you got the floor, sir. You go right ahead and give us your story. Anything you need me to say, anything you need to do, you go right into it, man. You got it. Go.
Oh, okay. Yeah. My name is Ashante Smith. I'm incarcerated here in the state of Ohio. I've been incarcerated since I was 15 years old for a crime I didn't personally commit. A crime that took place in 1995 with my co-defendant, my oldest brother, and two of my oldest cousins. I received a 20-year-to-life sentence. I was bound over as a juvenile offender and faced trial in 1996. I was found guilty and sent into the prison population at 16 years old. And when I went through this whole sojourn, as I began it, I came to the realization of after years and of studying and growing up and just experiencing the prison life and seeing how dangerous it was, seeing how volatile it was, seeing how, for myself, the dangers that lurked for me, I kind of went in so many different directions. I chose to educate myself. I chose to get into a law library to study the law to become more aware of what was going on in society as far as what ideas and what perspectives that the citizens held about juvenile offenders and juvenile crimes. And I came to many conclusions that here in Ohio, there is no acknowledgement whatsoever for juveniles. There are no distinctive criteria or prerequisites for juveniles that are found guilty of crimes they committed as adults and spend time in prison. That we are languishing in prison in Ohio. We're going to the parole board. The parole board is not acknowledging at all to have a record or database of all the juvenile offenders that have been transferred to adult courts. So therefore, there is no acknowledgement whatsoever. And this itself defies science, what we know, the evolving concepts of what the law has said recently from 2012 United States Supreme Court decisions to the present about treating juveniles differently, sentencing juveniles differently.
This call is originating from an Ohio correctional facility and may be recorded and monitored.
The cases that we just seen recently, as late as last week on Lester Holt's sojourn inside the prison in Angola and Louisiana on Dateline. It was Dateline special that came on at 10 o'clock on the 6th.
Mm-hmm.
And just exploring the ideas of how juveniles are being treated in the country, but most importantly here in Ohio, that directly affects myself and hundreds of prisoners. I'm living in a state where there's only 11 million citizens, but it has the fourth largest prison population in the country. So Ohio is a prison state. And the priority of prisons are sold in Ohio to the citizens as employment opportunities. So therefore, many of us are languishing in prison because this is a good job. It's a good paying job, and it offers pensions and it offers benefits for an employee's family. So getting paroled in Ohio is a very daunting a feat to try to accomplish for anyone. And it's intricately connected to the political system, which makes it very hard for those of us, majority, who are inmates of color, prisoners of color, who come from impoverished communities and broken families, who don't have the resources to fight against a very large system, colossal system as the criminal justice system. And it's very callous as well, too, to put in the fact that once you are put in prison and you languish in prison, no matter if you're guilty, no matter what your participation of the crime was at. This is very important for juveniles. You have to understand the research has proven that the majority of juvenile offenders that are in prison for these crimes, when there are accomplices who are older than them, play the minimum role in the crimes. But they receive the majority of the time, and they stay in prison longer than their adult accomplices. And this idea is ludicrous. to anyone who has a mind and has a heart and who's connected to a sense of themselves as a human being, this should be outrageous to anyone who will want to see change in our society. We hear a lot of these conversations about criminal justice reform, and we always hear the same theme of the low-level nonviolent offenders, the drug offenders, or the opioid crisis.
Right.
It's now an opioid crisis. It's an opioid crisis now because it's affecting white children. So white teenagers are getting addicted to opioids, and they're now it's a national emergency and national crisis. But when young black kids communities were ravished through the crack epidemic, it was a criminal justice
crack
issue.
Epidemic.
It was law.
Yep.
This call is originating from an Ohio correctional facility and may be recorded and monitored.
It was law and order. It was about bringing down the heavy fist. And this ushered in the era of the draconian practices of increasing the level of bindovers, lengthy sentences for violent offenses, reducing the ability and opportunity for people to be paroled who have proven through their accomplishments while in prison that they are parolable, that they're suitable for release, so they can get in society as a decent age and be employable, get in society and play a constructive role in their lives and in the lives of their families and their children and their communities. So there's many parties that's involved here, and we're not having the broad discussion that we need to have about criminal justice reform and parole reform here in Ohio and throughout the country. But, you know, Ohio is very close to us because we're suffering under the weight of this callous and repressive system. So we want to try to raise awareness with the juvenile issue that has been talked about, but it hasn't garnered enough attention that we would like it to, because we believe it is paramount for ourselves as a society that if you are willing to throw away your children, then what does that say about the country? Because we are your children. We are no doubts about that. We are your children. Whether we're black, whether we're white, whether we're brown, we're your children. And if you're so willing to discard us and throw us to the gray ways of being nothing and accomplishing nothing with ourselves and with our lives, then that's not a reflection of us, of the bad decisions that we made when we were children. That's a reflection of the society we live in. That's a reflection of the leadership we live in. That's a reflection of the priorities that this country has held for a very long time when it comes down to the criminal justice system. And we need change. And the only way that we can get effective change is by raising awareness. And this is what this interview is about. This is what the blog is about. This is what the videograms are about. This is what we want to try to do, is create a type of connection with people throughout different states that we can get involved and create a very powerful movement, so that the voices, as Candace Hudson said, the unheard voices will not go unheard when policymakers and politicians and special interests sit down at the tables and have these conversations about our lives in these smoke-filled rooms, calling it the mainstream. And so this is what we are trying to do. We want to be involved, and we want to sit at the table, and we're advocating for true justice reform that includes juvenile justice reform for all juveniles across the board in all 50 states. So that's our plan, and that's our focus.
And, sir, that's well said, man. That's something that people, you know, I've been saying. That's why I started this little organization here on the pipeline, because there are so many children that should not be inside them walls with somebody that's old enough to be their dad. You know, and that's a simple thing. You know, you might make a mistake. Everybody makes a mistake. I made mistakes. But to put a child inside them walls makes no sense. And you're exactly right. I sit back and think about, I just heard about that. I just thought about that the other day also. When it was a crack epidemic, it wasn't no problem. This country didn't say nothing about it. So we need to stop this. We need to stop this. But now this new one's out. Oh, it's a major thing because it's hitting suburban America. Now it's a problem.
Yeah, definitely.
So, but when it was cracking, go ahead, sir.
This call is originating from an Ohio correctional facility and may be recorded and monitored.
Right. And to add on to that, what you're saying is that's the message that has been sent to us, that we don't care anything about you. And we don't care anything about
that's
your
right.
lives. You know, let's be honest about it, because I think that we can never truly get to a place of truth until we meet at the table of honesty. We have to sit down and be honest. We have to have honest conversations. We have to have honest conversations even when we know that we're going to feel uncomfortable. And many of us are going to get real red when we hear certain things that we totally disagree with or things that we may not be aware of. Trust me,
right.
The black community, the brown community suffered. It was a plague. The crack epidemic increased the level of violent crimes in our community. If you're talking about addressing the drug laws to try to repeal some of the draconian drug laws of this era, how could you not look at the violence that was born from the drug epidemic? Because you take away the drug epidemic, you don't have that level of violence. So these things go hand in hand. It seems that they want to look at violence as being something distinctively different, you know, as some anomaly to the drug epidemic, and they're not. They're one and the same. One gave birth to the other. So we can't. So those of us who, let's don't forget, there's a responsibility that we have, myself included. I made bad decisions when I was younger. I was 15 years old. I was following behind my older brothers and my older cousins. I got caught up into that mentality that the fast money was the way to the top, the way to have our piece of the pie, to have that American dream. And it was, and it was an illusion that was sold from young guys living in the concrete. We call it the concrete where we're from, living in the concrete where there's no grass. Where there's no stores, where there's no employment, where there's no good schools, where there's no opportunities, truly opportunities to expand your horizon and be exposed to different forms of life and different forms of living, and most importantly, forms of mentorship that are crucial. Think about these young brothers that's growing up and these young sisters that's coming up right now in the black and brown communities, even the white communities. They don't have mentors. And those of us are in prison that have learned from our mistakes and changed our lives, we can play an instrumental role in reaching out to at-risk youth and deterring them from committing crimes because we've been there. But we're not being afforded the opportunity because society has said, we're done with you. We're done with you.
Exactly.
That bad act you committed when you were 15, 16, 17 years old equates to us that you're a bad person, that you're irredeemable,
right.
That you're incorrigible, and that we no longer as society wants anything to do with you. This is the message that we've received. This is the message that we received, and I've said that we have to be very careful about allowing these talks and these discussions about criminal justice reform be hijacked by people who don't care anything about the real meat and bone
problem.
Issues.
That's right. And that's one thing I see happening. There's so many people who want to come out and make a group about something that they have no clue what they're making. Because, you know, you sit there, you want to say, I want to help these, I want to help this. But do you really want to help? Are you just trying to do this to make yourself feel good when you get up in the morning? You want to so you can tell the people, hey, look, I helped them. I helped their kind. I helped them.
Right.
But
are you helping them?
Are you helping them? That's what I want to know. Are you doing that? So I really wish people would understand that they got to give these people chances. I need to, like I said, I still falter behind having a family. And I've been out for a little bit, but I still falter behind that. And like I said, I made that mistake. But you know what? That doesn't describe the person that I am now. And people there who've done their time more than too much time. You know, that's just too much time for a man to be inside them walls, especially for you, sir, being that age and still there. You have done your time. What else do you want from
him? Right. There's nothing else I can give him. There's nothing else I can do.
That's right.
I'm here. I'm what they would call superfluous potential. That I have all the potential in the world to accomplish whatever I set my mind to do, but I'm not afforded the opportunity to be free to do it. So that's the ceiling. Every day I wake up and there's a ceiling.
I know it does, man, but it's going to happen, man, because we need brothers like you out there to help people like me to even make my fight better. Somebody who can join with me, we can fight and we can take this down because it's not even cool. And a lot of times I think the system sees people coming together as one. They don't want to see that. They don't want to see somebody who's been in and been out, and they're trying to help the other person get out so we can come be together. And that's a problem I think a lot of these places see. They don't want the people to come together as one. And it's a black thing, white thing. Like that's why one of my models is, it's not a black thing, it's not a white thing, it's a kid thing. So that's what we need to remember. Yep. I'm not trying just to help black kids, white kids, brown kids.
This
I'm
call is originating
kids,
from an Ohio correctional facility and may be recorded and monitored.
Yes. Right. This is about humanity. This is about human beings.
Exactly.
You know, and that's what
exactly.
That's what too many and for too long the justice system has been we've been viewed by the lenses of those who control the judicial system as the other, the them. You hear this language used today in the political spectrum,
right.
that the fear of the black thug, the black gangsters. We have to understand now that they came for us and came for our children. They're coming for your children now. Oh, you best believe
they
it. They're not going to stop. You can't create it. You can't create a system and feed it so much flesh. And now it becomes, and it has an insatiable appetite for that flesh, and think that it's not going to be, get to the point where it's going that hunger and that desire for flesh is what won't expand to your communities, and it has, and people are seeing it every day now. So what we have to do is come together and define the common ground. What's the final ground? What is the common ground? The common ground is our shared humanity, our shared interest in wanting a better life for ourselves, for our children, for our families, for our community. So it shouldn't be as hard as everyone make it out to be. This is not about being Democrats or Republicans, blacks or white. This is about who you are as a human being. Where is your heart?
Where
is the condition and the quality of your heart? And if you have it in you as a human being to be involved in human issues, then step to the forefront and extend your hand. We extend it back to you and work with you. But if you're not willing to work, and if you don't care about people, then get out the way and let those of us who are marching through and stumping through let us lead the way. And that's just the perspective I have.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And like I just said before, there's just so many people out there who, like I said, say they want to do something. And are you doing something? Are you really actually doing something? And like I said, are you really doing something? There's something. This thing could have been nipped in the bud a long time ago. I'm not saying it's going to stop 100% because it's just bigger than what we can do.
Right. But
there's enough way that we can make enough noise of people to wear people. Like, you know what? They got a point. They got a point. I need to take care of my kids and say, look, this is what you need to do. Like you said, bring them to the start a little group so you can mentoring groups for these kids. Exactly. We need to have these kids. Who else will come tell you about the inside of prison, bad stuff? If you already did something, who can tell you more about it? Guys who just got out of college at an Ivy League school, he can't come in and mentor about something in the hood. You ain't never been to the hood. And somebody who's been inside the place and who's sold the drugs and who's done this, who's robbed somebody,
you have
can come out and look.
Minute remaining.
You're right.
You just can't do stuff like that. You can't do stuff like that, man. But I got the call just came in. I got one minute remaining. And so
1 minute remaining.
1 minute left before it cuts me off.
I want to thank you. I want to thank you, brother, for the opportunity. I hope that I hope this is the beginning of something better and more communication between us and Candace,
yes,
our organization, and what we're trying to do. Because we want to be involved with you as I think you very much want to be involved with us. So let's keep going and let's try to raise awareness as best way that we can.
Okay.
And our hands are extended to you. And we thank you very much for the opportunity to be heard today.
No problem, man. No, I mean, you know what? My helper just came and said I got 6 minutes. I don't know why I said that. You got some more. You got some more stuff to say, man. I got 6 minutes, man. So go ahead. You got some more time.
Right. No. I said 1 minute on my end.
It's about to
disconnect it.
Thank you for using GPL.
All right, but guys, I want you guys to please be aware of things like we just got done talking about. He did a phenomenal job. I'm so glad, and I want to thank him and his helper who got him on the show. I'm not going to give her name out because I don't want no repercussions to him or her. But like I said, we're going to do that show again, man. We're going to do that show again. I want more people to come in to listen. If you guys know of anybody who has that child who is on the borderline of getting in trouble and stuff like that, have them reach out to me on here on Facebook, Stephen Bobo, STEBENBOBO. I have the prison pipeline. I have beautiful women, nice guys on my team. I have have Candace, I have Shantae, I have Chrissy, I got my girl Poe, Danielle Andrews. I have all of them. They will definitely be there to talk to you, get you into the group. Parents, like I said, if you have any questions of what to be looking out for, we have people who have loved ones inside the walls that can let you know. Like I said, I've been inside the walls as an officer and as an inmate. So I know there are things that you have questions that you want to know about that maybe I can tell you. Especially in the ladies, if you have daughters who are is going down that road, I have women in my group also who've been inside the walls, and they'll be welcome to talk to you. I have ladies who have are positive women, Candace, Shantae, Danielle, like I said, Chrissy Wilson. There's positive black women, white women. It does, like I said, it doesn't matter what color they are. They're here to help people and help kids, and that's where their heart is, and that's why I love them, because they want to help these children, because we are tired to see these kids become statistics. Too many statistics in this world, and you do not need to be have to be a parent to have a statistic, because that's not how you raise your child to be, is a statistic. Because there's no way that a young lady, a princess, or a young prince should be in the sense of being inside a prison at that age. There's no way. That hurts when you want to see these young kids killing one another over stupid stuff, over money. Money, for real? Come on now. Money is what's going to ruin this whole country, and that's a whole different thing. And that's why 9/11 happened. That's why 9/11 happened. I'm sorry for all the people who had lost loved ones in 9/11, but we all know 9/11. My stepdad and my grandfather always said this country has a whole bunch of stuff coming to it, and there was one piece of it right there. Stop being bullies. Stop bullying people. As far as the kids, stop being bullies. Stop trying to be seen. You're hurting people. You're killing people. For what? If you kill somebody, you know where you're going to end up. You're going to end up in there with somebody to be old enough to be your daddy. And there's no reason for these juveniles to be up in that prison. Please, think about a decision before you make a choice. Make a decision before you make that choice. That's the main thing. Make a decision before you make that choice. Because there's no reason to pull out that gun and shoot somebody. If you're arguing or you're beefing or you're fighting, start it over the phone or you're starting over Facebook. So you're a Facebook internet gangster. So you want to get bad. So you say, oh, now you want to do this? So now I'm going to just bring this gun back and I'm going to shoot you. Why? Because you guys had a disagreement on Facebook? Or have a disagreement on Twitter? Or a disagreement on all the other little social medias, Instagram? Really? You go, so you're just mad because somebody saw somebody get out on you like that? So now you want to bring a gun to school and shoot somebody? And let's don't talk about all the gun violence coming up. You know, violence going shooting up the schools and stuff like that. Like the big one here in Dayton, Ohio, they shot the Oregon district. And all these schools getting shot up. These are things that you kids need to be – they're worried about. They're scared about. A lot of kids, they locked down my – I have 96. And had a lockdown of one of our ladies on our group here. Her son, her school in Alabama was locked down. And he said he was scared to go back. You know, kids don't need that. When I was going to school – that was one fear I did not have was somebody would come up in the school and shoot. Like I said, the only thing I had fear of is what I was going to get on my interim report. Or how am I going to show my mama? That's the only fear I had. Or am I going to get suspended in school because maybe I skipped a class and I'm about to worry about, am I going to get that butt whooping for my mama or my daddy? So that's the whole thing I'm saying, guys. Kids nowadays have way more to think about than what we did. So I got 60 seconds left, guys. I'm about to be getting out of here. I want to say thank you for tuning in. I will have another show. The Bozilla Show will be back. I'm going to have another one, especially with guests like that. Also, I'll be on myself probably another time, but I'd rather bring in people to talk about stuff that's going on with them in their life so maybe I can get them the platform so they can speak and be heard. So somebody, if they hear them, they can try to help them. But that's what I'm all about, people. It's all about helping. That's all it is. I love y'all. Bozilla is out. 10 seconds left. I want to say thank you for everybody tuning in. If you have any questions, please leave it. Not leave it at the beep. Leave it on my Facebook account. All right, y'all. Love y'all. Bozilla is out. Out.